Hello students, welcome again back to the V-lecture series of eSchool on Strategic Management subject. Today the subject we are going to talk about is on Business Unit Level Strategy, Chapter 6. We have so far seen in this Strategic Management Process book, we have seen the fundamentals of strategy, industry analysis and competition analysis, external environment analysis. We have seen vision, mission, strategy, objectives and goals, and then we have also seen corporate level strategy. So corporate level strategy is first and foremost in the strategy formulation phase, and now we are going to see the business unit level strategy, and the next chapter we will be seeing functional unit level strategy. What is a business unit? Business unit is an organization which deals with the profit and loss and the socio-economic impact of the business unit in the overall corporate level. So business units business unit is headed by a CEO, and business units generally have its own vision, its own strategy, its own objectives and goals of making a successful business. So we'll be talking about business unit level strategy following the corporate level strategy. Corporate level strategy is a parent strategy which sits on top of it, top of any organization which has got multiple business units. So we are going to talk about the business unit level strategy today. To understand what are the objectives, we want to understand what is a business unit level strategy, what is FOTES generic strategy framework. Let us understand the framework. How does it help in terms of devising a business unit level strategy for a company across different business units? To evaluate cost leadership, do we go for a cost leadership strategy or a differentiation strategy? So we need to understand both strategies well. So whether your business unit is going for cost leadership or you want to create differentiated products and services. To understand the milestone strategy or framework, this is another framework that we can apply in our business unit strategy, that we'll see how it is going to work. To understand how to choose the right generic strategy for business, so we need to have what are the other different generic strategies that we can put in place, because no one size fits all. That's what I believe in terms of creating a strategy specific to a business unit. The foremost important thing about creating a business unit level strategy is all about creating competitive advantage. Whether it is cost leadership or it is differentiation, how do you create a competitive advantage, thereby your organization, your business unit is able to maximize its returns from the market, maximize its growth, maximize its profitability. So that's all about creating competitive advantage. Now let's have an introduction to business unit level strategy. A business unit is an independent business entity within the organization with its own vision, strategy, market growth and set of competitors. So this is very important, right? So any organization will have multiple 3 or 4 business units. So each and every business unit could be in the related business or in non-related business, or are the same business competing with each other or complementing each other. For example, airlines industry which I gave, Tata Sons have entered into 2 sets of airlines business, one with Air Asia, the other one with Singapore Airlines. So these two businesses are 2 businesses headed by 2 different CEOs, and the charter is different, but they are in the same industry. So business unit is an independent business unit within the company, within the overall corporate. So each will have its own vision and strategy. Here the vision is to how do they get into the market space, which is probably the low cost market. The other one is how to create differentiation in terms of creating more value to its customers through a high end full fledged services operator in the airlines industry. Both are in the airlines industry, but they complement each other. Probably the conflict areas could be very narrow and minimal. So I think that's a classic example we can discuss, how these 2 different units can operate with its own identity, with its individuality, with its own vision, strategy and market and set of competitors. You will have different competitors. This low cost carrier can have competition from the likes of IndiGo and SpiceJet and Go Air, and the high full service carrier can have competition from the likes of Air India and Jet Airways and other global operators. A single firm that operates within one single industry is also considered as a business unit. A single organization within a single business unit, within a particular single business industry, is also called a single business unit. Business strategy is considered with decisions pertaining to the product matrix, product mix, the marketing mix. So each business strategy will have its own marketing strategy, its own product mix, and it can implement a competitive advantage specific for the SBU, particular to that SBU. Let's talk about Porter's generic strategy. How do we create a competitive advantage? The whole thing about business unit strategy is how do we create competitive advantage. Without creating competitive advantage, your company is not going to be progressive, whichever strategy they follow, right? So a competitive strategy is about being different from the rest of the competition. There could be, many areas that you can differentiate yourself. You can differentiate yourself in your product, in your production capabilities, in your R&D capabilities, in your marketing capabilities, in your customer service capabilities. It could be anything. It means deliberately choosing to perform activities different or to perform different activities than rivals. A generic strategy framework is commonly used by many organizations to achieve and sustain competitive advantage, right? So a generic strategy framework is commonly used by many organizations to achieve and sustain competitive advantage. So it is very important. So let's go deep into that. What it means, it is based on two competitive dimensions. One is the strategic scope. The other one is, we'll come to the other one. The first, let's talk about the strategic scope. A demand side dimension and look at the size and composition of the market the company is intend to. So you have to look at the market, what is your target segment, right? The scope can be broad market scope, or it can be a broad market scope, or it can be a narrow market scope. It could be a focused market scope. It could be a general market scope. So you have to focus on that. Strategic strength or advantage, it is supply side dimension. So you have a demand side dimension, the other one is supply side dimension. Looks at the core strength and core competency of the firm to differentiate its offerings in the marketplace. It is either cost competency or unique value proposition competency. You go for a in supply side, you create, basically you're creating a cost competency or a differentiation competency. Strategic managers should also determine whether the business unit should compete primarily by a low cost strategy or focusing on to offer unique products and service through differentiation. So you can have a focused strategy which will create unique differentiated products and services through innovative ideas, product ideas. It could be features, it could be a go to market approach, a marketing strategy, or through creating a customer experience center and thereby attracting customers to sign up with you. So those things can be. Flipkart is a good example, how they have differentiated their products, what kind of SLA they deliver in terms of, when you order online, what kind of SLA they are able to deliver. And they commit something and then over fulfill the delivery. So those kind of things are there. What kind of turnaround times? So either way, the company has to, look at business unit strategy. You want to go the path of low cost or you want to go create differentiation. Let's talk about cost leadership. What is cost leadership? Cost leadership, your company is doing, critical mass and a high asset turnover. You are able to, use the asset. For example, airlines industry. You have one aircraft which does multiple destinations in a day. So how are you able to turn around your aircraft? What kind of turnaround time you have? And You know, how are you able to you know, sweat your assets? You know, for example, Southwest Airlines is an example where the capital investment is far, you know, compared to the industry average, their capex investment is far less than what a similar kind of an airlines has for its you know, operation, fleet of operations. Southwest Airlines has less fleet, and they are able to do a fast turnaround of their flights from sector to sector, and in a day they are able to operate multiple routes and multiple you know, sectors, thereby increasing the turnover ratio of their asset. Their asset is aircraft. So they don't have, suppose you are doing, competition is doing four sectors in a day, Southwest Airlines was doing five sectors in a day, thereby your productivity improvement is 20% or 25%. So thereby you don't have to have, you know, equivalent relative number of aircraft in your fleet, so thereby reducing the capital expenditure. So it's a very simple formula. So, so suppose competition is having 120 flights, you can have only 100 flights. So that, you know, still you, since you're doing five flights per day on the same aircraft, the competition is doing four per day. So it's a clear competitive advantage stage, you know, strategy. So the business unit strategy, whether it is a low cost or differentiation strategy, it is all about competitive advantage, creating competitive advantage for your company, for your customers, for your employees, for your stakeholders. This approach means fixed costs are spread over a large number of units, so the product or service resulting in a lower unit cost. So that is exactly the reason I gave an example of Southwest Airlines. You are reducing the cost per transaction, cost per service, cost per unit. You are actually using, leveraging your you know, asset, the fixed cost, to a major extent, to the major possible extent. It is called sweating of assets in telecom parlance. You are sweating the asset more than what the average asset life is or asset turnover is. Achieving low direct and indirect operating costs achieved by producing and offering high volumes of standardized products. So you don't. So repeatability is a secret of success for many of such companies. You are able to repeat because you are standardized to your product and services. You don't have to recreate it every time. You create it and you multiply it by huge volumes. Control over the supply, procurement chain. You have a complete input cost control, so to ensure low cost could be achieved by bulk buying, squeezing suppliers on price, etc. Because you've got you know, volume, critical volume. You've got a huge volume you're giving business to them. So thereby, you know, suppliers are able to give you reduced costs, huge discounts. So it's an advantage. Operating cost also is a major advantage for such, you know, operators. Shareholder value model. So this is what differentiation is. Differentiation is, you're not going after a volume. You're not going after volume of business. You're not going to commoditize the business. You are going into creating a value. You're going to create customer experience. You're going to, you know, create shareholder value model. It holds that the timing of the use of specialized knowledge can create differentiation advantage. So companies with, you know, people who are highly competent, highly skilled, they bring in completely different value together to the company and utilizes large base of resources that allows an organization to outlast the competitors by practicing a differentiation strategy. Your products are different, you know. Like Apple could be an example. Apple has only 2% market share. Samsung mobile phones has 20% market share today, 22%. But Apple, for the product is different. Features are different, the experience is different. So people buy, you know, there's a clear segment of people who buy that. But however, India, Apple also has a strategy for India today. The last 1 year, they have done 1 million mobile handsets, which is phenomenally a great performance by Apple, you know, in the differentiation, you know, strategy segment. Focus or leadership. You want to stay focused on a particular, you know, scope. So you have to describe the scope for which the company should compete based on cost leadership or differentiation. So you have to clearly have a you know, focused scope by which the company can, you know, focus on this area of business or this area of business. You know, in a narrow focus scenario, company focuses on a few target markets. So you have a broad scope of engagement, then you have a narrow scope of engagement. The narrow scope of engagement where you focus on very specific markets, you know. A focus strategy should target market segments that are less vulnerable and not susceptible to substitutes where competition is weakest to earn above average return on investment. So this is very important. A focus strategy should, you have a, for example, the Johnson & Johnson focused on baby care products. I don't think any other company focused on baby care products. It's a very focused differentiation strategy there. You know, Johnson & Johnson, it came with a lot of, you know, new products and for the baby care segment. So they are focusing on a very, you know, target market segment. They are less vulnerable, more susceptible, not susceptible, right? No, people don't, I have not seen much of companies competing with Johnson & Johnson baby care products. So it's a good example where competition is weakest or there is no competition, much competition there. So you have above average return on investment for your, you know, company, your corporate. What is the generic strategies? Porter's generic strategy is good, but it cannot be applied in all scenarios, right? No one size fits all. So lack of specificity, lack of flexibility, limiting in its scope and possibilities, low cost leadership and differentiation may clash with each other, resulting in no proper direction for the, because it can have conflicting situations, you know. Sometimes, you know, you can have low cost, for example, Southwest Airlines, it doesn't mean that you are low cost, you can't create customer experience and differentiation, right? So Southwest Airlines is a you know, a clear example where both can coexist. You're having a low cost leadership there, no frills airlines, and you're also creating differentiation because flyers prefer to fly in Southwest Airlines compared to another low cost airlines because of its promise on timely arrival, faster turnaround, and a clean aircraft, and in-flight crew experience is damn good. So what more? So it actually has both attributes, both attributes of low cost and differentiation. So it may clash. It is actually overlap there. So it is clearly a you know, a strategy an organization can adopt. You know, multiple strategies may be required to respond effectively to any challenging environment condition. So there could be multiple, you know, a situation where a company needs to have a couple of 2-3 strategies, you know, that may be required to respond effectively to any challenges. You know, a lot of uncertainties there, challenging situations are there. The whole economic situation is getting complex day by day. So you have to have multiple strategies to, you know, basically to take care of, you know, the challenging environmental condition. Now let's talk about another one, the Miles and Snow strategy, which is a strategy framework. There are four types. You know, here he classifies the companies into business units into four types of businesses. So there are four types of strategies that you can adopt. Prospectors. What are prospectors? Prospectors are promising companies that follows a prospector strategy, highly innovative company, a leader in the space, and is constantly seeking out new markets and new opportunities. The orientation of a company is towards growth and risk taking. So they are innovative, they are entrepreneurial, they are risk taking, they are towards for high growth kind of strategy. So they are completely in the leader space. You know, defenders, organization that follows the defender strategy, concentrates in protecting its current markets, little possessive, little protective, maintaining stable growth and serving its current customers. So they're happy, you know, serving their customers. They take a status quo kind of an approach, and which is okay. It's a stability kind of strategy combined with the business unit strategy, which is a defender strategy. An analyzer, he is very explorative. This company analyzes look for stability and flexibility with an attempt to capitalize on the best of the prospector and defender strategy. It's a combination of these two. This company is both prospector type and, you know, it can coexist in a particular company. Reactor, an organization that follows a reactor strategy has no consistent strategic approach. It always reacts. Market changes happen. They're not proactively ready for market changes. So they react to the market after 6 months, 1 year, after much market share has been, you know, already taken away by the competitors, and no strategic choice is there. It drifts with environmental, it just goes on the flow and reacting, but failing to anticipate and influence those events. So which is a very, you know, kind of a, what do you say, little sad situation, because, you know, these companies take a follower approach, not follower approach, more of laggard kind of an approach. You can call us a laggard. So these are the four different types of, you know, four types of strategies that fall under Miles and Snow strategy framework. The first one is prospector. The second one, prospector is equivalent to a leader. So defender is basically, you know, in a status quo, maintaining its business strategy. The third one is analyzer. Analyzer brings in the combination of both prospector strategy and defender strategy into their strategy. Reactor is a laggard who actually lags behind the market changes. You know, they are not able to anticipate any or influence any market changes. In today's world, what is more important is social business strategy. A company cannot survive or thrive on its business without a social business strategy. Social business strategy is still evolving across across the globe, and many companies are already adopting. Whatever goes online, the social media networks like Facebook or Twitter or you know, LinkedIn, it has major ramifications and implications on your business, on your company. So the business unit can actually, you know, proactively engage with social media networks to promote their strategy. But it is not a part-time job. It is a full-time strategy. It should be a full-time strategy depending on your business. It's a strategy that requires having a healthy ecosystem to support adoption and execution of key business initiatives. So you can keep communicating the online through these social media channels, what your company's visions are, what your company's strategy is, who your customers are, of course, referenceable customers, what kind of new products and services you are launching, what's the company's, you know, next, what are the trends available in the industry, how the whole global market is moving ahead. So you can have a holistic system into, you know, to communicate your business initiatives. Social business strategy aligns with social media strategy, with the strategic goals of an organization. So it is about integrating the strategic goals with the social business strategy, you know. So it's a very important aspect of, you know, any corporate or a, you know, business unit level strategy in today's scenario. Operating principles and utilizing knowledge as a part of competitive advantage. Business unit strategy, as you've seen, is all about creating competitive advantage. Whether you follow the Porter's generic strategy or Miles and Snow strategic framework, at the end of the day, you're creating a low cost differentiation, or it could be a low cost differentiation, like in the case of Southwest Airlines, or low cost and differentiation, as in the case of Tata's two ventures on airlines industry. All these three are different case studies, right? So you can create a differentiation. So here, the knowledge available across the organization can be used as a differentiation. For example, in an IT industry is all about creating, you know, knowledge workers, skilled workforce, whether it is Infosys, TCS, or Tech Mahindra, or whichever company that you talk about, they depend on people and skilled manpower. The whole business is about people in the IT services or any services segment. Knowledge can support the traditional mechanism of serving customers and delivering value. The customers pay for the knowledge, customers pay for the people, customers pay for the intellectual experience that they get. Knowledge-based strategies must be linked to traditional measures like KPIs, etc., because it is very difficult to measure. Unlike in a hardcore product company, services companies have to have KPIs very strictly on the, what their deliverables are in terms of the services. Executing knowledge-based strategy is about nurturing people with knowledge. So it is very important in knowledge-based industries. Organizations leverage knowledge through networks of people who collaborate within the organization and provide service to their customers. Growth engine of for knowledge development comes from workers' aspiration, need for help in resolving complex business problems. So IT services is a classic example, media services is there, social media services is there. These are classic examples of knowledge-based industry. Let's talk about business size. When you're having a business unit level strategy, you need to look at the business size and your growth plans and assessing the competitors and how much market share you can gain in the given marketplace. The size of the business has implications on a company's ability to adjust itself to the market forces like competition and environment changes. So it is very important, the size of the business, because if you are a small insignificant business, you will not have the ability to adjust it, yourself. Sometimes you will be going out of the business because bigger competition will take away your market share. Small businesses have the flexibility to change its ability to meet specific market demands and respond quickly to environment changes. Let's talk about mid-sized businesses. So we talked about large businesses and small-sized businesses. The mid-sized businesses, as they lack the advantage of being a small or a large businesses are enterprises, they generally seek to expand their businesses to achieve economies of scale to take advantage of a lower price or unit. So basically they try to take advantage of economies of scale. Scale down their operations by taking retrenchment strategy because they need to fit them into the shoes of a small business to take advantages of flexibility of a small business. So all these are business unit level strategies, depending on the size of your business, whether you are a large business or a small business or a medium-sized business. In summary, business unit level strategy is all about creating competitive advantage for your company. What kind of competitive advantage you need to create in your marketing strategy or in your go-to-market strategy or product strategy or service strategy? Whether it is a low-cost strategy or differentiation strategy, or it is a low-cost plus differentiation strategy, whether it is a focus strategy or it is a leadership strategy. So you need to have your strategy very well defined in terms of what kind of strategy from a business organization standpoint you need to have. Strategic managers must determine how the business unit needs to compete effectively in the marketplace. So first of all, you need to define what are the parameters that will define in terms of whether you want to be a low cost or a differentiation strategy. What kind of parameters you need to define and understand clearly to compete effectively in the marketplace. Each approach has its own advantages and disadvantage, but it has to be customized. There is no one size that fits all. Every business is unique. If you're a large business, small business or a medium business, you need to have a customized strategy. From the big picture of a generic strategy or Porter strategy or Miles and Snow. Miles and Snow is probably one of the best fit that you can talk about, whether you are a prospector or a defender or an analyzer or a laggard. So you can pick and choose that appropriate strategy for your business. So choosing the appropriate strategy depends on how your business, what are the needs of your business unit and what are the parameters that you need to look at. Each business unit has its own business unique strategy based on its combination of resources. Because you have resources that are limited, you are limited by your resources, whether it is financial resources or people resources or technology resources. There is no generic strategy that can be applied straight. That's why I said there is no generic strategy that fits, all companies. So you need to create your own unique strategy. So this brings us to the end of this particular chapter. And I would like to thank you all for your patient listening. If you have any questions, you can always come back to me. Thank you so much.